Welcome to the Fat Talks podcast. Here we will share lessons to help you on your business and fitness journey. I'll be sharing practical solutions from building my business and having mind-opening conversations with amazing personalities too. My name is Tomi Rotimi. I'm the founder and creative director of Exclamations by Tomi Rotimi, a proudly Nigerian premium ready-to-wear brand I founded almost 2 decades ago. I'm also the author of the best-selling book, Fat Transfer from Waistline to Bottom Line, a book on life lessons for fitness and business. Welcome to Fat Talks. Hello, welcome to my podcast and welcome to another episode of Fat Talks by Tomi. Thank you for tuning in and thank you for always tuning in. Today's episode is titled Embracing Price Increases. You know, this episode was actually inspired by a dear friend of mine who called me yesterday panicking about the increase in cost of production and her fears around passing this increases on to the customers by inevitably what she has to do by increasing her pricing. And she expressed her fears. And of course, these are fears that we all experience when we are considering increasing our prices. Some of the things that she was afraid of was obviously not being competitive anymore in the market, her customers perceiving this price increment as being negative, and of course, losing customers. And I guess for her, maybe she found it difficult justifying the price increase just because the cost of doing business and the cost of producing these things had increased by such a high rate. Like some of the pieces that, some of the resources that she needed for production had gone up almost by 100%, some by 50%, some by 100%. And to increase your prices by that same rate, you know, everybody would cringe a little bit, you know, but so she called me obviously panicking that she didn't know what to do. Now, I had done a major price increase last year, towards the end of November. Like, I literally just pulled the plug on my old prices and increased prices for some items by at least 40%, just because that was the only way I could justify keeping some of those lines. There were some lines that I completely took out, and we no longer stock those pieces because I felt we needed to kind of focus on pieces that were perceived to have more value, you know, so that we are not stretching ourselves a bit too thin. So, but my dear friend didn't do this last year, and she decided she was going to postpone the evil day. And now she's finding herself in a bit of a spot because costs have gone up, prices haven't gone up, and so anyway, this episode is really inspired by that conversation. And I felt many of us might be going through this. We are in a position where we need to increase our pricing, but we haven't embraced the mindset that will allow us to do this seamlessly. So I'm going to talk about two things. First of all, I want to debunk some myths around price increases. You know, I think this might help you. First of all, and these are myths around what my friend said, and these are some of the things I said to her. So I'm talking to us. I'm inviting you to the conversation we had yesterday. Anyway, the first thing she said was that she was afraid that customers would stop buying, you know, some of those lines. Now, for some product lines, she had wider margins, and she felt she was able to take the slightly small, the slight hit to her profit margins for those pieces, because her profit margins were quite robust for those lines. For some of her other lines, which is the one where she was having challenges with the price increase, the margins were not as great, particularly now that the price increase had come up. But even though the profit margins weren't as great, they were some of her more popular signature lines that many of her customers had embraced and loved, some of her bestsellers, I dare say. So she felt customers would stop buying from her. So that was the first one. The second thing she thought was that, you know, maybe instead of increasing her prices, maybe she should try and increase her capacity so that she could sell more instead of increasing prices, right? Another thing she thought was that maybe instead of increasing prices, maybe she should add more value, you know. And by adding more value, she's increasing prices, but customers are getting a lot more, you know, with the price increase. So increase price, but add more value so that customers feel like they're getting more value for money. And the last suggestion she made was maybe not increase it right away, maybe stall a bit, maybe stop the supply of that particular line, just stop it, sell out what you have, stop producing the product for a bit, and maybe only make it available on order, like customers have to make orders for it and they are no longer able to just get it off the shelf. And I think the last one she said, I'm not sure if she said this or if I suggested it, was maybe a gradual price increase. So instead of a big jump from to a 50% or 100% increase, maybe she should just gradually increase the price in increments of, say, maybe 10% until you finally get to the price point that you know, helps you cover all your costs. So these were her suggestions. And they were not bad suggestions. Honestly, they were not bad suggestions. The big one was my customers will stop buying from me. That was the one that got me, that got my blood boiling. Because I don't believe that customers will stop buying from you only because you increase price. Now, one of the things I said to her was that anytime we change strategies, whether it's a pricing strategy, whether it's a customer experience strategy, whether it's a business strategy, just generally in terms of the products we are focusing on, whatever it may be, you are going to shed customers. I've talked about this in past episodes, and embracing this mindset will free you from the guilt of shedding customers. It's called customer attrition, which is really part of business evolution. You are going to shed customers. You're going to lose customers. As customers' needs change, as your needs change, as the business evolves, as you continue to work on defining who you are in business and your role within your industry's landscape, you are going to shed customers. And it may not be your fault. You are going to shed customers and it's going to be fine. It's absolutely fine. So you shouldn't be too scared of shedding customers for the right reason. So that was one thing that I said to her, that if you do increase your prices, no matter how small the increment will be, you are going to shed customers initially. Good news is anytime there is also a change in strategy like this, you are also going to gain new customers who identify with your new point of view, who are not really shaken by your price increases, and who have already bought into who you are as a business and have made you a part of their lifestyle. They can't do without you. So you're going to retain those ones, but you're also going to gain new people with your new strategy. Another thing about that whole customers not buying from you thing, which I think we should all embrace, is that the value of your products or your service is based primarily, I would think, I would say at least 70 to 80% on perceived value, not necessarily on your cost profile. So a lot of us make this mistake. You think because your costing is so and so, you know, you add just a little bit on your costing and you have your price and, you know, that is fine. That if you increase your pricing, your customers may feel like you are, you know, you're making too much money just because of your cost profile. Now, that is not true. The perceived value of your product is really what customers justify pricing with. It is how they see your product. You know, we all know this. You know, you have businesses that sell the same kind of product. Some are in the luxury space. Some are just in mainstream high street space. They are more or less selling the same thing, but one of them is selling it at a considerable amount more. Some of them even maybe two or three times more what their high street counterparts are selling it. Why is it? So one business may claim that they use luxury resources, their processes are sustainable, and all of that. But is it really by the same degree? It's hardly ever. The main difference is the brand perception, the product perception. If a product has an LV logo on it, right, I would perceive it to be more expensive even before I hear the pricing, you know, and it has nothing to do with what I consider to be the quality of the product. So for all of us, one of the things we must try to do is to increase the profile of our businesses so that the perception of our products are higher and people are willing to pay a little bit more because of that perception. Perception is not even just about the cost of putting together that product. It's about who you are as a brand, what you believe in, your branding, the customers and the celebrities and the communities that you associate with, you know, you as a person, your personal brand, and how that rubs off on your product's perception. These things are the subtle things that affect how we can price. You know, if I suddenly tripled my price without doing anything about my profile, my existing customers might find it difficult justifying the price increase. Meanwhile, they are happy to pay this same elevated price point to another brand just because they perceive that brand as higher end. You know, so takes me back to my conversation with my friend. So I said to her, people will not stop buying from you simply because you increase prices, right? You have to be intentional about your price increment strategies and ensure that you are also increasing the profile of your brand and how you and your brand are perceived, right? Because we know, without even looking too hard, we know other brands who are selling the same type of products we are selling for a lot more, and they are not out of business. All right. So that was a conversation that I had with her, and you know, obviously she left the conversation feeling a little bit challenged and determined that yes, she needed to implement a price increment strategy if her business was to survive this season. You know, so I think, that was really the conversation we had yesterday regarding price increment. But I also wanted to suggest some practical ways that we can increase prices that can help us ease into this new season. I don't have too much longer. I think I've gone a bit longer on the first half of this podcast than I anticipated. Hopefully I can cover a few more. And if I can't, it will be a two-part series. Okay, so one of the first things that I want you to do is to do a market research. And this was one of the things I suggested to my friend. Do a market research. Find out how other brands are managing this this cost situation. Find out what pricing, you know, exists now within your competition. You know, sometimes, you know, we all live in this kind of bubble. We are doing our own thing. We are pricing based on old formulas and old cost profiles. And our customers are buying from us happily, but we do not realize that we are pricing our pieces lower than we should. And this is the reason why we are not able to move forward like we would need to, because we are not making enough money. But, you know, one of the light bulb moments for me was, you know, doing a bit of market research, which right now is super easy. Just go to your competitors' websites, several competitors' websites or Instagram handles, and you can see their prices. And just to generally know what your competition is pricing. When I did this, it was mind-blowing. I found that people who were within the same type of profile as I was as a business had increased their prices by about 30%, and they were still in business and they were still buying. And a lot of us have customers in common, so these customers were still buying from them, and you know, they were getting a steal from me. Now, while getting a steal from me is not a bad thing if I can increase capacity significantly. But if I can't increase capacity significantly and I'm not able to increase pricing and I'm giving my customers a steal, I'm not doing anybody any favors. So one of the major things that I think you should do, which I advise my friends, is do a market research. Find out what people are currently paying based on the recent realities. And this might help you embrace your price increment a little bit more. If there is a general price point across board within your industry, it means that customers are comfortable paying that price. So you shouldn't feel bad about doing that. So that's one big thing that I want you to do. A second thing you can do is begin to communicate your value a little bit more. If it's something you haven't done in the past, then this is the time more than ever that you need to start doing this. One of the fears that customers have during a season like this, where cost of everything has gone up, is the fear of quality dropping. Now, I'm not even joking. I've had a customer say this to me before. A customer called me and said to me that she's noticed that most businesses were dropping in their quality, and that she's seen this with many of the businesses that she regularly patronizes. And she just wanted to ask if I was not going to be in the business of dropping my quality. Of course, I assured her that our strategy was going to be to increase our prices so that we can maintain our quality. And guess what? She was very happy with this and she kept on buying from me. So she needed that communicated to her. She needed to know that we were committed to quality. Some customers need you to go a step further and be very specific about your value proposition, highlighting the improvements that you have made, the additional features that you have added, how you've enhanced quality. So you need to create the perception that they are getting more value for their money from you than from any other brand. If this is communicated, customers can also justify spending more. You know, this is all a justification game. You are trying to justify to yourself why you should increase prices. Customers are also trying to justify to themselves why they should pay more. If you give customers the reasons by communicating effectively, what I find is that people are happy to pay a bit more if they know why they are paying more, right? Another thing you can do is also educate the customers. Educate the customers on the reasons why there's a price increase. Most customers know already, but When you're building a community, transparency builds trust. Letting people understand that the price increment is not something you're just doing off the cuff or because you're trying to make more money. The price increment is directly as a result of the increase in cost of everything. Now, everybody knows this already. But when you educate your customers like this, it builds a sense of community and empathy and even understanding so that they understand that this is a business and it has to be run profitably. And if they are carried along with the price increase, I find, you know, this has helped me. I find it allows them to justify as well the price increment. Remember, when you are doing this, you can communicate this to your, you know, top customers. You can communicate this through your social media. You can communicate this through your email marketing, through your text marketing, through your WhatsApp marketing, whatever way you want to do it. But you need to educate your customers on why there has been a price increase. Another thing you can do is introduce products or services to help the customers bear this increase a little bit more. You can do this for a few customers or for more customers. For instance, you can offer free delivery services if people buy up to a certain amount, loyalty schemes, you know, you can give access to customers to your new collections, you know, you can create private collections or to events. You know, when you do all these things, it just makes people, again, it's building a community. It makes people feel like they can justify the increase, you know. So that's one major thing that you can do, and it's something that I do as well. One of the things we did last year, which really helped, was to have more in-store events so that we can engage with our customers one-on-one. And through these events, we're also able to communicate the price increases and educate our customers on why that was. And having the store events is definitely something I want to do a little bit more of this year, because that really, really helps customers meet with you face-to-face, and you can communicate some of these challenges to the customers and the reasons why you have increased your prices. So having store events really helped. Another thing you can do is exclusive access to new products, right? Exclusive access to new products. You can also do some limited edition product lines as well that, of course, have increased prices. When people hear limited edition, they can also justify the increased prices as well, you know. So those are a few things you can do to help people embrace price increment, you know. Of course, if possible, consider a gradual increase instead of the sudden jump, but be careful. One of the things that I've realized is, in this whole retail psychology game, there is a window of opportunity to do some things, because in the mind of the customer, this is the season when this is easier for them to embrace. Right now, where cost of doing business is up, and everybody across board, everybody from food vendors to transporters to people who are selling us our raw materials, everybody is increasing prices right now, because the cost of doing business generally and the cost of living generally has gone up by almost 300% in some regard. So people are generally open right now to price increments. Now, if you don't increase your prices now, when people's minds are generally open to price increments, and you increase it later, it doesn't matter to the customer that even your price increment is now at par with industry. For them, why are you increasing now? Things have stabilized. So how do you justify increasing now? So don't delay the increment for too long. And even in your being gradual, don't be too slow in the transition, because we have a window of opportunity right now to increase prices. People now are asking questions like, how much is this product now, right? And that is because they know that the price has to have gone up. So that's one thing. We've gone a bit above our timing for today, but I'll say one last thing. One last strategy for price increase is to introduce a new product line and let this product line reflect its higher prices right off the bat. What I find is it's easier for me to buy a product at a high price than to accept an increment of a price increment of an old product, right? Because there's no reference point, right? There's no reference point for the new product. So one of the things that we are doing is we are trying to create a new product line using a new fabric type, new cuts, new everything. And this will reflect our new pricing. The cost profile might be the same as some of our old products that we are not necessarily going to increase prices by a wide margin, but this will make up for it, especially as we begin to shed some product lines that are not as profitable. We will replace them with new product lines that are more profitable at the new price points, you know. So that is a strategy that you can consider, and that really helps. I've done this in the past before, and I'm definitely going to do it again now. So that's it. Embracing price increment. I'm done with this episode. I'm almost 6 minutes longer than I hoped, but I hope this was a episode that you got a lot of information. I know I rushed through it quite a bit because I was trying to hit our 20-minute mark without having to do a second series or a second part to the series. I wanted everything to be in one episode, so we're just about 26 minutes in. But anyway, thank you so very much for listening. Please, I rushed through this, but it's really packed. So please listen to this over and over and over again. Take notes. Everything that I have said here, these are practical tips that I am implementing and I have implemented in the past. This is not our first rodeo. I've been in business now going on 22 years, so I know this is not something new. We have waves of this. This happens every other decade or even less. You know, we always experience austerity, recession, all these things happen. And so these are some of the strategies I've used in the past and I'm going to use again. So please listen to it over and over again. And if you have a friend in business, please share this episode with them. This would really help. If you have a mastermind group, share this with them and you guys talk through it. And if you would like to talk to me about your own price increase strategy, send me a DM on my Instagram. My Instagram handle is tomi.rotimi, or send me an email at tomi@tomirotimi.com, and let's just talk about, we'll just have a chat. Let's talk about it and some of your own challenges and some of your own reservations regarding price increment. I'll be very, very happy to just have a little bit of a chat with you about this if you are interested. Anyway, that's it for me for today. Thank you so very much for listening. Speak to you soon. Bye. Thank you for listening to my podcast. This was an amazing episode. Please subscribe to the podcast anywhere you get your podcast. Also, buy the book. Bad Transfer from Waistline to Bottom Line is available on Amazon and also on www.tomirotimi.com. I would love to hear from you. Let me know what resonated with you in the episode or in the book by tagging me on Instagram at tomi.rotimi or tag the book page Fat Transfer by Tomi. Looking forward to the next episode. Tune in, please. Thank you and bye.